How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 59 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. You can leave a review there once you're on the page. Also, find us on audioboom.com too. And also remember, log on to normantranscript.com and you can check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can't miss it. You just drag your cursor over the sports tab and you wait for the drop-down menu and you click on Thunder Road and you're right there and you see all your Thunder content. And you can go there for all of my Thunder coverage. I'm on every day of the week now, Monday through Friday. This posts on normantranscript.com too. So if you're not listening there and you want to listen there, you can listen when it's embedded on the site over there. On every day of the week. So the first Thunder preseason game is tonight. It is tonight. We got preseason basketball in the USA. Technically, their third preseason game. First preseason game against an NBA team. It's against the Dallas Mavericks, 7:30 Central Time, Tuesday night. First time I'm going to be doing a podcast after a game that I'm at. Now, there were two games last week where the Thunder played in Spain, obviously. They played Real Madrid October 3rd. They played FC Barcelona Lassa October 5th. Now, this will be a little bit different with the podcast. Now, those games were 1:30 Central Time. It was real easy. This is something I'm kind of excited about. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to do for an 82-game season plus playoffs plus some preseason games. But something I'm excited about is that this podcast that I'm going to be able to get, it's going to be able to get, you know, direct reaction, immediate reaction out to the fans, or out to the listeners, or out to anyone who's crazy enough to listen to me. I'm going to be able to get out some direct reaction after games. So the process, just to make it as transparent, is basically after I go out and cover games, because I'll be in Dallas for that game, I go out, I write my gamer, I send it into the paper, we go to press, and I make sure all my stuff is up online. I perfect my piece for the online. I probably put up some notes. Usually I'm home or at the hotel or whatever it is at around midnight or so. That's usually about when I get back from work. Midnight, 12:30, something like that. That's when I'm going to come back. I'm going to come in. I'm going to record a podcast just talking about the game. And it'll probably go up by around, you know, depending on what time zone I'm in, but, you know, 1:30, 1 o'clock. Normally, I've been posting these things at 12:05 a.m. is when they've been going up, 12:05 Central Time. Obviously, that's not going to be possible throughout the season when you've got games. Like, Wednesday or Tuesday night, it's not going to go up. It's not going to go up at 12:05 a.m. But I'll have it up. You'll have immediate reactions. So if you, I assume a lot of people aren't listening at 2 in the morning. I realize what's cool about this podcast is that it's reached people from not just Oklahoma. Like, there are people in New Zealand who listen, I know, and there are people in Australia who listen. Hey, people from New Zealand who listen, just know, Australia gets more listens than New Zealand on this podcast, and I feel like you guys got to catch up. You guys got to get the ball rolling on that. You guys got to pick that up. I know you can't take that kindly. I know that you can't appreciate that Australia is listening more. You gotta beat them. It's super close too. It's super close, but Australia's consistently like barely ahead in listens. So come on, pick that up. Pick that up. If not for me, do it for Stephen Adams. I know you can do it for Stephen Adams. But for the most part, aside from those New Zealand and Australia listeners and a couple people in some other countries in different time zones, for the most part, I imagine I'm not getting that many listens at 2 in the morning. So it's probably not going to go up till, actually, you know, the 2 a.m. listen might still be possible, but the 12:30 a.m. listen might be what you lose there. But, you know, it'll go up at 1:30 and you'll be good for something for drive time, which is an immediate reaction for the game. It would be so pointless to record something before the game, you know? It would just be so pointless. And with this daily format, you know, it pushes you into, I got to do it after the game. And that's kind of exciting. We're going to get some good game coverage this year. And if you don't think it's quality, if you don't think I'm quality, at least I'm providing you with some quantity. So there's something worthwhile. Let's preview game three of the preseason, though. The Mavs won. I'm excited for Dirk Nowitzki, just on a personal note. So Dirk is playing on Tuesday. He didn't play in the Mavs' first two preseason games. It's just precautionary stuff. Tuesday night, Dirk's going to play his first game. Devin Harris is going to play his first game, too, so the Mavs are getting a little more healthy. I'm just excited for Dirk. I mean, maybe I'm just getting nostalgic for, like, my childhood basketball because Tim Duncan retired and Kevin Garnett retired and Kobe Bryant retired, but especially Garnett and Duncan, because those are the power forwards. And I, you know, you always grouped, you know, whether you thought, you know, I think we can agree that Duncan is the best of the crew, maybe barely ahead of Kevin Garnett. And if you want to argue that KG was better, I'm cool with that. But you got Duncan and Garnett and Dirk kind of all part of that same, just unbelievable power forward generation, all easily first ballot Hall of Famers, all, you know, whatever you want to call them, top 15, top 20, top 25 players in the history of the game. Just, you know, Dirk is the absolute greatest shooting seven-footer who ever lived. You know, Duncan, you can argue, is the greatest power forward who ever lived. Kevin Garnett has a ferocity that I don't know if it compares to anybody else who's ever played and whose game matched it. That's one hell of a trio. And Dirk is 38 years old. He's the only one left now. And he is still so good. Like, I know people always talked about, like, how the heck is Tim Duncan still so good at his age? And that kind of fell off last year when, I mean, he was good last year. He had a really good defensive season, but he just wasn't, he didn't quite look like Tim Duncan anymore. You could tell he had aged. So the narrative kind of fell off, especially come the playoffs. But Dirk is the same thing. I mean, Dirk is not the same type of player as Duncan, but Dirk is still an incredible offensive player. He is still such a great offensive player. He still shoots the hell out of the ball. He's still got moves down low. His post moves are still unbelievably effective. I mean, there's so many things that he does on offense that he is still not good at, absolutely elite at, especially for his position. And, you know, he hasn't said anything about this being his last year. But, you know, if it is, I mean, you know, who knows? We didn't know it was going to be, you know, maybe we could have guessed it was going to be Kevin Garnett's last year because he just, you know, he was an end-of-the-bench player and it just wasn't the same watching him. Dirk, it's different. Dirk is still not the top of his game. I mean, he's not as good as he was when he was winning MVPs, but he's still a comfortably above-average power forward. I mean, he is a really good player still. So it's a little bit different of a situation where you don't know what's going to happen with Garnett or Duncan or something like that. But, you know, it's just appreciate these times we get to see Dirk while we still can. Whether it's his last year, or his second to last year, third to last year, whatever it is. Just my word of advice is let's all appreciate this season from Dirk no matter what we get from it, because he is a unique player. He's a unique personality. He's just a likable personality. He's just a cool guy. He's really one of my favorites who's ever played the game. And I'm excited to see him play this season, and I hope he has another great year this year, and I'm excited to see him play Tuesday night. I'm glad he's coming back against the Thunder, and I get to see him play in person, which is an exciting thing for me. Just a quick rundown of the Mavericks starting lineup. There's Dirk, obviously, a power forward, and then there's going to be Deron Williams, Wes Matthews, Harrison Barnes, and Andrew Bogut, the two former Warriors, capping it off next to Dirk. Key matchup, I'm going to say it's Harrison Barnes versus the Thunder wings. Barnes hasn't gotten off to a great start. But, you know, it's two preseason games, and he's barely played any minutes anyway. Like, you think that the Thunder aren't playing their guys a lot of minutes, playing Russell Westbrook 21, 22 minutes, whatever it is. The Mavs and Rick Carlisle have taken that, you know, even more extreme. You know, Barnes has played, you know, way less than half the game, and Bogut, they obviously limit minutes for since he's injury-prone and all that, and they have a lot of guys who have injury histories, Darren Williams and Wes Matthews tore his Achilles a couple of years ago, so they have stuff to monitor, and Harrison Barnes, they, you know, he's young, but they gotta, you know, they're resting him up. He's been inaccurate from the field, but he's a guy who they gave a max contract to this summer, and from the Thunder perspective, I mean, he's a guy who's certainly going to have to show this year that he can step up a role. His role changes this year. There's no question. I mean, he was the guy who was in the corner with the Warriors. Now he's more of a focal point of the offense. I think he's capable of stepping up another role. We'll see exactly how far up he's capable of going. I certainly think he's capable of doing more than what he did with the Warriors when he was just kind of purely catch and shoot. And he's shown off some funky handles that we didn't necessarily see when he was in Golden State, some stuff that I really didn't even know that he can do. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him against the Thunder Wings, with Wes Matthews against the Thunder Wings too, because we don't really know which wings are going to play. We know Andre Robertson's going to play, but Alex Abrines' playing time, inconsistent in those two games in Spain. He played more against Madrid than he did against FC Barcelona. Huestis and Singler flipped roles in games 1 and 2. Game 1, Singler 24 minutes, Huestis 8 minutes. Game 2, Huestis 19 minutes, Singler didn't play. Total flip. Total reverse flip. Reverse flip? Wow. I don't even know what that means. Is it reverse flip? Is that like a double negative? Does that cancel out? Does that cancel out? I don't know. But you know what I mean. I want to see who Donovan plays in this game, though. Is he going to play Huestis? Is he going to try to have Huestis guard Barnes? Have he sent Huestis out to the wing to guard those guys? Is he going to play Singler? Is he going to, you know, use Abrines more minutes? Is he going to use Morrow more minutes? It seemed in the first game like Abrines could be a little ahead of Morrow. That's possible. But I don't know. Two preseason games in, I'm not trying to decipher what's going on with rotations. There's so much more that could be at stake in those preseason games than just, nah, Donovan thinks this guy's better for the team. There's so much more that goes into a thought process in an international preseason game than just thinking that a guy is better for the team. Especially when you're not playing your best guy in second and fourth quarters like the Thunder did with Russell Westbrook. So I just want to see what ends up happening with that wing rotation. It's going to be interesting because there's an internal competition with the wings right now, with Huestis and Singler in particular. I don't know who's going to win it. I don't know who's going to win, but one of those guys is going to get playing time. Both of them will probably get playing time throughout the year in certain moments. One of those guys is going to get playing time, though. And I don't know if this game means anything in moving forward, but at least for now, for building evidence off of what we see on the floor in actual competition against other teams, gives us a better idea. It'll give us a better idea, because after that trip to Spain, I don't know. I don't know. Donovan's not going to tell us. We just got to wait and see. Another interesting thing to watch in this game tonight. Three-point defense. That's big. That was bad. That was bad in Spain. There's no question it was bad in Spain. And those Spanish teams got hot, too. Real Madrid got crazy hot. Insanely hot from three. So Real Madrid shot 20 of 37 from three last Monday. FC Barcelona was worse, but it's not like they were bad. They were 14 of 31. 45% on a ton of three-point attempts. The Mavs take a lot of threes. That's the thing. My bigger issue is not necessarily the makes that you give up. The makes are, you're not going to really affect the makes as a defense. You can give up tough shots. You want to close out. You want to maybe alter a shot here and there. For the most part, NBA players, pros in general, guys playing in Spain, they're too good. You're not really going to affect the makes that much. What do you want to affect are the attempts? The attempts. 37 three-point attempts to Real Madrid, that's the real issue. 31 three-point attempts allowed to FC Barcelona, that's really the issue. You know, it's not really the amount of makes they gave in. That stuff, it was a lot. Madrid got hot, Barcelona got pretty hot from the wings. You know, that kind of stuff tends to even out. over the season. The makes tend to even out. And if you look at the statistics, I know that's kind of a hard concept to master, thinking, wait a second, like, closing out on a shot matters. If a shot's wide open versus not open, it matters. It matters. And individually, it does. Individually, it does. That is true. For one single shot, an open shot versus a closed out shot, that matters. The bigger issue is the attempts, though, in the larger sample size. Because if you're closing out, you're going to prevent attempts, too. And you want to prevent attempts. You want to prevent guys from putting the ball up from three. Really good defenses take away the three-point shot. Not necessarily in percentage, but in number of attempts. And the Thunder gave up a lot of attempts. The Mavs like to take threes. So I'm going to be watching if the Thunder are able to take away those three-point attempts from the Mavs. If the Mavs don't necessarily put up a lot of shots, have the Thunder guard the three-point line, it's going to be interesting to monitor. It's going to be really interesting to monitor on Tuesday. And, yeah, I mean, look, these preseason games, like, they don't matter. They don't matter. The Thunder are going to be experimenting on stuff. The Mavs will be experimenting on stuff. Someone won't be playing legit minutes. Probably multiple people won't be playing legit minutes. You're going to have some guys who won't play in the regular season playing in this game. And the outcome doesn't matter. The intensity is not there. It's not going to be there. I don't care what the players say. It's not going to be there. That's fine. That's fine. The same way, you know, J.J. Redick was talking about this on his podcast, I forget, either this week or last week. You know, the same way that the intensity for a random game in January is different from the intensity for a playoff game, the intensity for a regular season game is different from a preseason game. There's nothing wrong with that. It's natural. I think it's unavoidable, honestly. I don't think there's any way to avoid that unless you're like Kevin Garnett, whose ferocity I was just talking about is historic. So unless you have that kind of motor, there's no problem with that. That's everyone. That's everyone. When you tell somebody that something doesn't matter, people respond to incentives. When you tell somebody that the outcome of something doesn't matter, then the mentality changes. That's fine. It's just tougher to evaluate. It's tougher to evaluate. But judging that three-point defense, that'll be interesting. That'll be an interesting thing to see. Just how many, when you look at the box score, look at how many threes they give up. And that'll be an interesting talking point. And then you go back and you look at how they gave them up. But the first thing you want to check is how many they gave up. Then you look back and see how they gave them up. And that's when they'll go and try to solve some problems. I wonder if they're going to try to run more, too, in this game. They keep saying they want to run. Every team says they want to run early. But it actually does make sense for them to run from a schematic standpoint, from a roster standpoint, from a attribute standpoint. You know, they have athletes who can force live ball turnovers, who are really good in transition. Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, Andre Robertson, these are all good transition players offensively. They're all guys capable of forcing steals, forcing deflections, getting into passing lanes. Steven Adams is good in transition for a center. Actually, he runs the floor well, assuming that he's going to be healthy and play. We don't know what his status is. The Thunder are still playing him on a day-to-day. They're ruling him day-to-day, so maybe we'll find out at shoot around Tuesday morning what the deal is with Adams. Maybe later in the day. You can actually follow me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ, and just check me out on Twitter and you know, the second I find out, I promise I will tell you. People tweet at me. Hey, you have an update on Steven Adams? Any more information on, you know, so-and-so's injury? Any more information on Cameron Payne's foot that you got? No. I will tell you. I would tell you. I'm not going to keep this to myself. I'm not sitting there just pushing my fingers together like an evil villain in a Ninja Turtles movie, hoarding all of this Cameron Payne injury information, evil laughing about how I'm not going to share it with any of the Twitter masses. I promise, I'll tell you as soon as I know. If I haven't told you, it's because I don't know. I promise I will tell you the Steven Adams stuff. But you can follow me on Twitter if you want to find out that Steven Adams information as soon as possible. Only 22 fast break points for the Thunder in those two games in Spain. They were saying they want to run. There were a lot of turnovers in that second game, too. There were opportunities to run where they kind of held up. Now, Russell Westbrook, again, only played in the first and third quarters. of each of those games. So he only played in four of a possible nine periods. So we're talking about the guy who would be leading them normally in transition, not in the game for, you know, he's not out there more than half the time. You're obviously not going to run nearly as much. So I'm not reading too much into that. This is still something that they're transitioning in. It's not like they didn't run at all. Their pace was pretty decent, slightly under 100 in those two games, 99.5, which is a pretty good regular season pace. It's, I want to say, 7 or 8 teams, something in that range, got over Eclipse 100 pace last year. That's just how many possessions per 48 minutes you're averaging in concept. We'll call it that to keep it simple. So, you know, if you're 100, you're averaging about 100 possessions per 48 minutes. That's really all it is. So their pace was decent, but teams in the preseason have been playing a higher pace in general. That's normal. That's normal. Teams in the preseason usually play a higher pace. As a matter of fact, early in the season, teams tend to play high paces, and then pace tends to come down throughout the season gradually. So if you look at pace leaders and you see early in the year that something is just crazy high in comparison to the previous year, often it comes down throughout the year. That happens pretty much every year because teams get out there wanting to run and then they just kind of settle into whatever their natural identity is when they're not really thinking about it as much. But only 22 fast break points, a fine enough pace. It's not like they were going slow or anything like that, but they weren't darting or anything like that early. If Russell Westbrook or when Russell Westbrook gets more minutes, whether it's in the Mavs game or in a future preseason game, or maybe just not until the Philadelphia game, we won't really know for sure. And maybe, like I was talking about before, with preseason games not nearly being as intense, you know, maybe just the motivation to exhaust themselves, to run like crazy, it's just not there, which I think would honestly be a pretty reasonable excuse for not doing it. So all those things factor into this, but something to look at. If we're going to overanalyze the preseason, that's something to look at. I'm just on point. I'm curious to see just when Russell Westbrook does start playing, you know, higher minutes. I don't know how Donovan's going to manage that. I don't know. I don't know if there's a right way to manage it. You know, it's obviously something that you discuss with Russell Westbrook. You discuss it with the training staff, and you kind of have a three-way conversation there, and you all figure out what's the best. I'm curious to see when we're going to see, you know, full throttle Russell Westbrook. If you know, we'll have to wait till October 26th when they open up against Philadelphia for the regular season, or if it's going to happen, you know, for one game or something like that in the preseason. I can't imagine that we're going to see Russell Westbrook for heavy minutes against Dallas. But maybe we do see him for a little more than 21 or 22, so that way they don't, you know, shock his body by throwing him out there for 36 for a game against Philadelphia. I imagine the goal is at least just to build towards, you know, his 36 average and get there. Before we go, remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head out to iTunes, and you can subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, like I said before, FREDKATZ. I'll give you your Steven Adams updates as soon as I get them, I promise. Log on to normantranscript.com as well for all your Thunder needs, and you can check out my blog, like I mentioned before, Thunder Road, to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you tomorrow for a wrap-up of the Mavs game. Until next time, Locked On Thunder is locking up.